Adrian Dater joins us once again. And Adrian, it's been quite the offseason for the Avs. They still haven't signed Mikko Rantanen, of course, one of their best young players. But everybody's excited about that team. You know, Barakovsky signs a one-year extension today for the same money he made last year at $3.25 million. And it's amazing how in a few short years, how the perception of Joe Sakic's GM work has really changed.
I'm not sure I came on your show a few years ago, but I think there was some second guessing at Joe's moves, and now it's changed, right? I was probably in leading that course too. You know, everything changed with this team in that Matt Duchene deal. I mean, that's really what got things turned around here. So Sakic took his time. Everybody said he's foolish for that, but turned out he wasn't foolish. And they're on a good path. They feel a little overdoing it a little bit with the love for the Avs and how, you know, awesome they're going to be. I mean, they're still a team that finished eighth last year. And you know, they won a playoff round, which is awesome, but still more work to do. And, you know, I think the good news for them, though, is that they're, you know, they really have a better plan, a better young players in place. And, you know, if they don't screw it up, they should be a real good team.
What element does Nazem Kadri bring them? It's different than what they had last year.
Well, they needed a second-line center. They also need a little bit of fight around the net. They need somebody with a little grit. Tyson Jones was supposed to be the second-line center. It hasn't quite worked out. You know, needed to address that. Tyson Barry is the guy that, you know, was going to be a UFA, was going to be, you know, cost a lot of money to keep long-term. They've got Cale Makar. They got Sam Girard. They've got Bo Byron they just drafted. He was the expendable guy to get the part they needed. That's why they did it. He's also got a pretty good contract for this team, which they always like. And, you know, onward and upward here with Nazem Kadri.
What are you hearing on Rantanen? Any numbers?
No, but it's going to be in the 8 to 9 million range. I mean, he's already had his comparable set. Sebastian Aho's 8.4 is the comparable that even Joe Sakic mentioned in a conference call about 10 days ago. So, I mean, everybody, you know, dreaming about 12 million or anything like that, forget it. You know, the Avalanche are not going to pay $12 million a year for a guy who's only as good as he is. He's only been in the league three years. And, Leon Draisaitl makes 8.5. He had 18 more points than Rantanen last year. He's only a year older than Rantanen. So 8 to 9. If he does a bridge deal, shorter term, maybe he gets a little bit more on the AAV, but not much. If he wants to take a long-term deal, which I don't think he wants to do, or I don't think his agent wants to do, at a, you know, quote-unquote team-friendly discount, you know, again, I don't think that's going to happen. I think it's going to be a shorter-term deal, and, you know, 8 to 9. Next time, his next go-around, he can have another kick at a can when the cap goes up in a couple of years and probably make more money. So either way, he's going to be just fine.
Do you think he waits to see what happens to Mitch Marner? Because at Mitch Marner, you look at comparables.
Leading into the season?
Yeah. Well, I guess, yeah, it depends, right? Like, maybe they wait, and it's, if on September 15th, Marner hasn't signed. But I do wonder.
Go ahead.
Yeah, like if the agent says, hey, let's wait for Marner here. That guy had 94 points, but we had back-to-back 87-point seasons, and some would argue that Rantanen's maybe a better player overall than Marner.
Yeah, you could argue that. I think Marner's kidding himself. He thinks he's going to get 12 also from the Leafs.
Oh, yeah.
You know, good luck with that. I think the Leafs have learned a little bit of a lesson on William Nylander. And are not going to cave this time. But that said, you know, he is a good player and he's going to make good money. And they're going to fight for a while, but I expect that will be a deal at some point soon. And who's better, Rantanen or Marner? I don't know. But Rantanen's going to make between eight and nine. That's just probably his market value. That's what he should get. And that's what I expect he will get.
On a five-year deal?
However long he wants to wait. No, I don't think it'd be on a five-year deal. Okay. I mean, he'd be dumb to do that. I mean, your cap's going to go up in 2 years. There's going to be a new CBA. There's going to be a new TV contract. It's going to raise the cap. I hear ESPN is going to get back in the game in the U.S. That's going to raise everybody's boats. So, you know, why would you sign for 5 years at money that you're going to make, you know, you could make 14 in 3 or 4 years. Who knows what the cap's going to be and what his numbers could be. You know, Nathan MacKinnon signed a 5 or 6 year deal. He's making 6.3 for the next 4 years. Wonder if he would want to do that over again right now.
Adrian Drayden joins us at ColoradoHockeyNow.com is where you can find all his insight into the Colorado Avalanche. Adrian Burakovsky just signed a one-year deal today, just over 3.2 mil. Where does he fit in into this lineup, and what are the expectations for him internally?
Well, it's going to be up to him. I mean, they'd love for him to be a second line winger, but he's going to have to get there. He's going to have to prove it. I don't know how many opportunities he was given to do that in Washington, but. The numbers suggest that he didn't quite get there. You know, 25 points in 76 games, it really isn't all that good. I think it's up to him. I think that may explain some of the reason why, it was only a one-year deal. I think he's trying to bet on himself more than anything, probably. I'm sure the Avs offered a multi-year deal, let's say 3.5 or 4. But, he opted to take the one-year qualifying offer. I would say, he's got to be at least a third-line winger on this team. If not, then it didn't work out. But they gave up 2 picks to get him, plus another prospect. So I'm sure he's going to be given a lot of chances here. And kid's got some talent. So playing with a bunch of good players again. He played a lot of good players in Washington, too. So if he can get to 15, 20 goals, I'm sure they'd be thrilled. We'll see if he can do it or not. I don't know a whole lot about the kid. Otherwise, I haven't seen him play as much in person. So, I always feel like I got to watch a guy on my team that I'm watching, before I can really say with any confidence. And I just haven't seen him play much. But he's one of those kids that they're taking a chance on. Didn't work out anymore in Washington. They're hoping he can get back on a new track and sort of do better than he has the last couple of years.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how he fits in when you get that going. Now, what about as far as between the pipes? Are they content to sit with Frank Kuz and Grubauer?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, for a while there was talk that maybe Varlamov, they'd still keep him. That might have been in conjunction if they could have got Panarin. Might have been a tag team duo. Who knows? But I think they're fine with it. I mean, Grubauer was great down the stretch and got him in the playoffs and played great in playoffs, really, for the most part. So, why not? Francouz is their, backup from KHL. Has had a good year, his first year in the AHL, and played a couple games up here and looked pretty good. No reason why they shouldn't. And if not, goalies are like buses. They want every 15 minutes, seems like, was flavor of the month. I don't think you can get too excited either way. I always believe that goaltenders are hugely important, but I also believe that, how you play in front of a goaltender is mostly how they're going to – your numbers are going to look to it starts with defense in front of the goalie. I think the Avs are better there, and consequently, I think Grubauer's going to be okay.
They've got quite a few D-men. When you look at Johnson, Cole, Zadorov, Connaughton now, Kale McCarr. They've got Callie Rosen. They've got Sammy Girard still there. Do you think it's likely or unlikely that Bo Byram, starts the year or is an app all year next year with him?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think, I think they'd like to have him play this year, but I also think that there's, a little bit of worry when you talk about an 18-year-old kid defenseman. Eric Johnson's going to miss the start of the year probably. Ian Cole's going to be out till December with shoulder hip surgery. So they're going to need some guys to step in and play a little earlier in that season. So maybe Byram only gets, 9 games before they send him back junior or something. But I think he's going to get a chance. I mean, I think they should just throw him in. I'm a guy who says throw him in the deep end of the pool, especially in a young league like today. I mean, he's playing against guys that are only 2 or 3 years older than him now. It's not the old NHL where 18-year-old came in and playing against 28-year-olds, and that was their prime. That was their, that was the average age of the NHL. Well, now it's a lot different. So I'd say throw him in there, but that's up to me. That's up to the coach. He's obviously a highly touted prospect who the Avalanche are going to want playing for them within 2 years, I would say. Other than that, anything else, that would be a disappointment.
Adrian Dater joins us talking Avs. Adrian, when you look at the Avs and, you know, MacKinnon and Rantanen were obviously very special as a duo, then you throw in Gabriel Landeskog. They split them up at times. And, you know, some would argue, are they better off to split them up over their top two lines? Obviously, you throw in Nazem Kadri. Who do you see as the other two guys to be in the top six? Is it Donskoy, Barakovsky, or where does Tyson Yost fit in?
Well, Bill Sakic mentioned that he could be the, second line left wing with Kadri, so that may be where he starts him. I don't know. Tyson Jones is a mystery. Is he a center? Is he a winger? Is he a second liner? Is he a third liner? He can't seem to establish right now. Took a couple years into his career, and that's okay. But eventually, you know, they're going to have to figure it out. He's a 10th overall pick, and you know, he's been given a lot of ice times, and just hasn't put up the points. But, so if he starts the year left wing of Nazem Kadri, good, then that's good. I can't get this phone to work.
Emotional agent data.